And let me pull up the Google Doc that I thought we had done with, because we should have been done with this.
I know.
That's all I need.
She's my best friend. She a real bad best friend. I need money.
Can you see the levels good?
Yeah.
Are the levels good?
I think so.
Makes us sound like doctors. Real Grey's Anatomy
stat,
shit.
Stat.
Exactly. Give him one of Epi. Oh my god. One sec. Where's my PCP? PCP. Session. If you can hear chewing, I'm eating birthday cake. Happy birthday, Hannah Greenberg.
Happy birthday, Hannah Greenberg. Is there any banter that we need to get through up top? I don't remember what we talked about at the beginning of the last time we did this. Hello, everyone. We're doing this for the second time. This is now the third time that we've had to record a podcast for the second time.
The second time you have the...
Only a second time for me.
But I know it seems like I'm the problem, but I'm really not the problem in this one. I don't know what happened last time. You were in charge of setup.
Yeah, I don't know what happened last time either, because I thought that we we tested it, things were great, we recorded the whole podcast, and then I don't know what happened.
Okay.
I don't know, that's the problem with I feel like we're not getting any better at this.
No, we're really not.
We plateaued, and now we're just where we are.
It is what it is, you know.
I kind of think my mic was fine the last time. I think it was you.
But I didn't set up my mic last time, if you would recall. You did.
No, but it worked before. And then all of a sudden we recorded again and yours didn't work.
Yeah, you're right.
Did.
I secretly sabotaged.
I knew it.
The recording. So I'd have to skip the class that I enjoy being in. You're right. To re-record the podcast. You're right.
Yeah, it's because you wanted to talk about Princess Diaries more.
I could have done that in class. I could have been like, Rachel, we should talk about Princess Diaries. She would have said, okay.
I guess.
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe like in between the actual discussion.
Hmm. Or if you could make it relevant to the actual discussion.
Oh, I could always do that.
You think you could make Princess Diaries relevant to women in halakha?
Oh, yeah. Evolving law to include women. That's literally the plot of the second Princess Diaries.
What about Tarat Mishpacha?
Tarat Mishpacha, the scene of the balloons. It's a metaphor. When they're popping the balloons and things are getting messy. It's a metaphor for Tarat.
Oh, yeah. that's a menstruation metaphor.
Exactly.
Okay.
Little known facts. There's bits of fondant on this cake and it's like the orange circles and it looks like gefilte fish. Like the carrots on top of gefilte fish.
You are the only one who made that association.
I don't think... That's what it looks like. You're going to look at me and tell me I'm wrong?
I don't think that you're
wrong.
Wicked
Witch of the East, bro.
You're misinterpreting my... The Wicked Witch of the East.
You know, that's the best TikTok sound ever. You're going to look at me and you're going to tell me I'm wrong? Her sister is a princess.
God.
Nice.
Wicked Witch of the East, bro.
Wicked Witch of the East, bro.
It's like they're having a screaming match. That's my family to a T.
Yeah. Okay. Welcome to Pop Culture Parsha,
where we irreverently discuss reverent text.
I will say, I got a DM this week from... Well, actually, I didn't. I got... Meryl was on the phone to her sister, Rachel, and Rachel was like, hey, why do you always say it like parasha? And I was like, because that's what the Nakud suggests that it is parasha. Mm-hmm. And then she messaged me later on. She goes, you're right. And it was like she had forwarded me a voice note from someone who's Israeli pronouncing the word parasha. And I was like, parasha. And she's like, okay, Shoshana's right.
Wow.
Just a fun.
You love being right.
I do love being
right.
Who
doesn't love being right, to be honest?
It's true.
We all love it. We also had to switch recording locations again today because they're building the new Pardes building.
Everything's just a mess.
Yeah.
Birth is a curse and existence is a prison.
Amen. I'm going to get that as a tattoo.
In the wise words of Ted Danson.
Stay tuned, because later in the episode, Shoshana gets to play our first voice note ever.
Yeah.
And thanks, so, Chloe. Yeah, shout out to Chloe. So stay tuned for that.
I'm Shoshana. This week, I am George Clooney's prank was. That is my pop culture moment. George Clooney pranking people back and forth, sending them gift baskets from other people.
Okay, and who would you send a gift basket? How would you utilize that prank? You were George Clooney.
I would prank... Here's the thing. I would prank people I didn't like, because pranking people you don't like is just being mean to people you don't like, but then you can just laugh it off afterwards. You know?
That's called bullying. It's bullying.
No, but then when you talk about it on talk shows, it's pranking again. Full circle.
I don't know.
No, 100%.
I think the line with pranking and bullying is very fine. Like I was just telling you about my theory of The Office last night, where I'm like, right. Dwight is clearly autistic and Jim is bullying him.
Yeah. Dwight knows what he's doing.
Like, yeah, you're right. Like, Dwight is also an asshole. Like, mm-hmm. That doesn't... Obviously, like, you can be autistic and also be an asshole. But, like, can't you?
Bold words from Valerie.
I feel pretty comfortable with that one. I don't think that being autistic means you are an asshole. I don't think that. I'm going to be very clear. But I think Dwight is both a jerk and Jim is bullying him.
Right.
And Michael.
I just think that if that workplace existed in real life, everyone would be fired after 5 seconds, right? Like, so much happens in that workspace that is just not okay.
Oh,
nothing that
sure.
happens there is suitable for work. Everything is NFSW.
Yeah.
Nothing is SFW.
Right. I'm just saying, before you go put your coworker's stapler in Jell-O, just think about...
That's also one of the harmless ones.
Yeah.
Like, the time they hire... Like, the one time, like, they have their Asian friend who comes in and pretends to be Jim, and they give him, like, sensitive office information. Like, he can, like, log into Jim's computer. He can log into Jim's voicemail system just to prank Dwight.
You think that's too far?
Like, I think, like, if that... Like, that... You would get fired for that. Also, like...
They work at a paper company.
Pam kisses that man who is their good friend who was an actor. How far are they willing to go for the bit? They spent money on a photo shoot with... They had to hire Asian children to, like, be in that family photo that they replaced for the desk.
You're asking me how much money, I'll go for a bit?
How much money are they...
You have been telling people that there aren't stairs in Australia.
It's because there aren't stairs in Australia. I stand by that.
I can't with this.
There are no stairs in a... That's just a blanket statement that is false. I concede. There are no stairs in public buildings in Australia built after the year 1974.
What about when you self-admitted to having pranked your friend that you wore glasses?
That's harmless. Right, it was funny. It was hilarious for me.
Right.
Harmless.
I guess one time, so is pretending okay, that Jim is in a different body.
Do you want to hear the best prank that I ever pulled?
No.
It was really funny. You said no, I'm still going to say it.
I just want to... You can choose how much... everyone heard me say no, right?
You can choose how much...
She to me 3 times a day and she goes, you want to hear something hilarious? And I'm like, no.
And then I tell you every time and it's all the time hilarious. Here's the thing.
Again, that statement didn't come out of my mouth, but sure.
You can choose how much of this to cut out of the thing.
Okay. All of it. Basically, from here, I'm cutting out everything.
Basically,
my friend
was trying to be nosy. I was in youth group. I was talking, like, the head of the youth group pulled me aside to ask me something outside. And it was like something like, are you going to be at shul this week? You know, something like really, like nothing. Mm-hmm. But my friend's like a little nosy Nelly. Mm-hmm. And she texted me, she's like, why was Aaron speaking to you? And I was like, oh, I'm getting kicked out of the youth movement. Like, as a madracha. And she goes, like, what? No, you're not. I was like, no, I am. She's like, why? Why are you getting kicked out? And this is all happening in, like, 35 seconds, like, in my head deciding, like, to prank her. I was like, oh, someone saw me on a date with a girl and I'm getting kicked out because I'm gay. And here's the thing. Like, I was closeted at the time. Like, only a handful of people knew. And she was like, no, you're not. Shut up. And I was like, no, I am. Nah. Like, that's why. I knew that, like, the guy who I had spoken to, who she was about to text about it, didn't know I was gay. So I was like, the official part, like, Aaron doesn't know any of that, though. like what, like I spoke to like the shlichim, and basically I, like, everyone's gonna think it's because someone told me not keeping kosher, and then that way I won't be outed. And so I texted Schneids, who's Aaron, and I was like, if someone asks, I'm getting kicked out of B'nai because I'm not keeping kosher. And he's like, fine. And then I texted Shaliach, who didn't know I was gay, and I was like, Amy, if someone asks, I'm getting kicked out of B'nai because someone saw me on a date with a girl. And she was like, weird, but cool. And then I texted my friend Rach. I was like, hey, you want to help me prank Simone? And she's like, yeah, I would love nothing more than to do that. And so then Rachel was like, you know, it's going to really sell it if we fabricate texts back and forth. And I was like, done. So then we had like this fake conversation of me being like really disappointed that I was getting kicked out of B'nai.
This is all. What do you mean this is harmless? This isn't harmless. Like, this girl thought that you were getting kicked out.
It was so.
That seems to be like emotionally distressing because you're gay. Like,
it was so funny because she's the one person I could do this to. And like, I knew at the end she'd be like, I respect the hustle. And basically what happened was, like, a couple of hours later, I was like, Simone, like, I'm completely shitting you. But that was after she'd been really earnest. She's like, we're the type of friends, like, we're not earnest with each other at all. And she sent me this really long text being like, Hashem loves you, even if people don't understand. And I was like, dying. And then I felt bad, so I told her about it. So then I told her about it. I was like, Simone, I'm like messing with you. And she was like, holy shit. She was like, that was phenomenal. To the point that, like, we had planned this dinner, like, we had had, because we were, like, in the head group, like, it's called the Hanagah, like, the organizers, whatever. We had had, like, an end-of-year dinner, and someone texted something about the dinner, like, a week later, and someone goes, you know what's crazy? It's, like, that prank lasted an hour and a half, but when I got the text about the dinner, I assumed that at the dinner they were going to tell us that you were getting kicked out. Like, and this is like a week and a half later. Like,
oh my god.
Anyway, that's the still. And then it was such a funny prank.
I don't know that it counts as a prank if
it was
just
prank.
Lying to someone.
It was a prank.
That's
it was
not
a prank.
A prank. I don't
prank.
Think it's a prank.
There were different pieces at play. It was so funny that, like, I literally came out to people to tell them that story because it was so funny at the time. Like, I was dying. It was hilarious.
I like that you came out like as a punch, like as a part of a joke. You're like,
yeah.
I have to tell you this thing because it's relevant to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, like, there were the shlichim in Sydney, like, people sent from Israel to, like, run the program. Mm-hmm. And I was out to the wife, but not the husband, Amy, not Roy. And I was like, Amy, you can tell Roy I'm gay so he understands how funny this story is. Like, he needs to know.
You just made up a lie and somebody believed it. I don't think
it's
a prank.
No. It's prank. It's prank. She needs to know everyone's business. Simone knows this about herself. She needs to know everything. And I was like, you really know everything? Know this. Pranked.
Okay.
What's your best prank, Valerie?
I don't know. This isn't really a prank, but I told Yarden recently that I kissed Satar on the lips.
It's not a prank at all.
Well, it's not a prank or a
confession.
Lie. It's the truth.
Did I send you the screenshot?
She keeps being like, you're cheating on me. And I'm like, what Zati and I have is different than what you and I have.
You can cut this out. There's a lovely man on Instagram. His name's Adam. Messages me like every week telling me something he really likes about our podcast. He messaged me.
Hi, Adam.
He messaged me. Hello, Adam. He messaged me the other week. And he says, can Valerie talk about Yarden more, please? That's
Aww.
All he said. Isn't that a cute message?
See,
and
Yarden.
I forgot to reply. I'm just going to like that and be like,
Yarden people want to hear about
her.
You.
But that's, I just thought that was such a cute message. But then I forgot to forward it to you. I'm sorry, Adam. I just replied to him right now.
That is really cute.
Valerie, what's your name? And what is your pop culture moment for this week?
And I'm trying to think of other stories about Yarden that I can tell. I mean, definitely, like, the best pranks I've pulled have been on Yarden, but...
Love that for you and your relationship.
Like
what? Besides kissing your cats on the mouth.
But it's not...
what other crazy pranks have you pulled?
Only one of them, because Sumi does not like being kissed. But Zati will accept a kiss on the lips. Listen, it's not my fault. She is a great kisser.
Oh, my God.
And you're done.
I like
too.
That you're prank. You're like, yeah, I pranked my girlfriend by
actually kissing my
kissing
cat on
my
lips.
In like, and she wasn't there, and I did it for my own benefit. And just, the prank was telling Yarden about it. Like, that's not a prank.
It's not a prank. Yours isn't a prank either.
Is it? It's more of a prank than yours.
It's not a prank.
It really is.
Okay, I'm Valerie, and this week I am the song Supergirl.
I am Supergirl.
That one, yeah.
I don't know any of the other words to the song.
and I'm here to save the world. I want to know who's going to save me.
Yo, the early 2000s had so many like Superman themed songs.
What else?
Kryptonite, Three Doors Down. Mm. The theme song to Scrubs. I know Superman.
Oh, yeah.
There was like another like ukulele song that was like weird indie rock.
What was going on?
It was like, if I could be Superman, I'd fly like you to the stores and back again. And that's how he sang it.
What do you think was going on?
It was before we got superhero fatigue through film. And so instead we got it through song.
Fatigue? That's fatigue. How you say that word?
How do you say it?
Fatigue.
How do I say that word? Fatigue. Fatigue. I don't know. Someone will tell me. They tell us when they're wrong all the time. Fatigue.
With your lazy palate.
I say fatigue. If I'm, I don't know, like playing a drill sergeant in a film about the war. You don't have time for fatigue. Like that.
Great.
You know?
Okay, Shoshana, do you want to summarize the parsha for these guess lovely people?
What is Shemot in a nutshell according to Chabad.org? Okay, we're starting a new book. We started a new book. We finished off last week. It's sort of the ends of that family, the more mythologicized start of the people. Now it's like about the whole nation, mm-hmm. right? Bnei Israel are in Egypt. They're multiplying like crazy, breeding like rabbits.
Every generation or every birth is what, like sextuplets?
According to Midrash, I don't think that is humanly possible for women to keep up with.
Talk to John and Kate plus eight. Jack and Kate. Whatever, John and Kate. Matter.
John and Kate? Yeah. Anyway.
It doesn't matter.
So, the Egyptians are obviously a bit nervous about this. And comes and he gives a little propaganda speech, puts them to work. It's basically like indentured servitude, but it's more like slavery. And it's just, then it becomes full on slavery. Then he hatches this plan. He wants two Israelite midwives, who are Shifra and Pua, to kill all of the male babies at birth. And they refuse. They are rewarded by God. And then Pharaoh decides to throw all of the male babies into the river.
You know, for a minute, my cats were named Shifra and Pua.
I love that. And you changed them. You shouldn't have changed them.
It just didn't. Shifra just didn't fit Zati. I think it was Shifra.
Shiffy. She could have been Shiffy.
And Pooey.
Shiffy and Pooey. So that's the thing. I think, like, I know, like, a handful of people named Shifra. I've met, a handful of people named Shifra. Never met a Pua. And I think it's like, people are willing to give their kids weird Jewish names until the word poo is in it.
But it shouldn't change like Israelis using that, right?
I don't know. What do they call poo in this country? Different podcast. Different podcast. Leave it for the Israel story. They can discuss what they call poo in this country.
Oh my God. Last night, Shoshana and I were at dinner and we watched this literally like go. This guy was like picking up food from this restaurant and the dog goes to poop and he poops like on the guy's shoe. Like so much poop, right?
Disgusting.
Oh my God. It was so funny. And the guy like didn't realize it. And I was like, that dog is rude. Like most dogs I know wouldn't like.
The thing, like the dinner was delicious. We got ramen.
Oh my God.
It was duck ramen. It was amazing. It was so good. Anyway, then a baby is born to a daughter of Levi. Mm-hmm. He is Yocheved.
Oh my God. Also, I have to tell you that someone came up to me today and was like, so how come you and Shoshana and Eli are a clique now?
Are we a clique?
I was like,
who said that to you? Name and shame.
Meryl.
Fucking Meryl.
And I was like, we have done two things together this week. We watched Princess Diaries together.
I made plans with you and then you invited Eli to that.
That's, I think, what happens every time.
And then everyone just fell out of dinner.
Yeah.
And it was just us three.
Yeah. I think we're a clique now.
Are we?
Yeah, we're all besties.
I have too many cliques. Apparently, I'm in another clique as well.
What clique?
We have to cut all this out. Like, I'm not saying it on thing.
Okay, I'll cut.
I don't think it's a clique. Other people are invited to be friends with us.
Isn't that your original clique?
Yeah, I don't see it as a clique. It's just like a WhatsApp group we have. And we're just friends.
It's literally the definition of a clique.
Other people are always invited.
How would they know they're invited?
Because the lunchrooms are open for coming in and sitting with us. Sometimes other people do. Sometimes you sit with us.
Am I not in your clique?
Are you?
No, I don't think so.
Okay,
it's fine. We have a side clique. It's fine.
I'm only in one clique, and it's me and Yarden and our cats.
What the fuck about me and Eli, bro?
Oh yeah, I guess that. That one's my secondary clique.
Wow. I don't see it as cliques.
Okay.
Friendship does it.
Speaking
friendship
of cliques, B'nai Israel.
Oh my god. Baby is born.
It actually feels relevant to both the movie we're watching and B'nai Israel in Egypt to be talking about cliques.
I'm not in a clique, so I don't know what to tell you.
What do you mean you're not in a clique? You're the most in a clique.
I'm not in a clique.
Uh-huh.
I'm looking up clique. I'm gonna prove my point. Clique. In the mathematical area of graph theory, a clique is a subset of verticals of an undirected graph such that every two distinct vertices in the clique are adjacent.
Stop.
That is, a clique of a graph G is induced a subgraph of G that is complete.
It's what came up.
Valerie's literally leaving the room. Valerie has got it up and is leaving the room. Oh yeah, I forgot that the lights went on. I don't know. I think people give cliques a bad name. Like, everyone's like, oh, things mean girls, mean girls. Like, it's a group. It's not a bad thing.
No, it's not a bad thing. I think it's very normal. It's literally key to our survival as a human race. So.
Anyway, a baby is born to Yocheved. It's born 3 months early, according to Rashi. And then after 3 months, she puts the baby in a river.
Rashi says the baby's born 3 months early. We're never getting through this parsha summary.
Oh my God, we're really not. Yeah, there's the reason that they were able to hide Moshe for 3 months is because he was born 3 months early. He was born premature at 6 months. And so they were able to keep...
That's very early.
It's very early. But I think it's the idea that, like, in this grand scheme of the Egyptians knew which Israelite women were expecting and when. And so they were able to get... They were able to hide him for so long.
I see.
And it also like could sort of makes sense because when babies are that premature, like they don't cry like regular babies, right? Like underdeveloped lungs.
I wouldn't know, but sure,
like very
yeah.
quiet, not very loud at all.
Wow, he must have really been a chosen baby that he survived being born three months early.
So he's hidden for 3 months by his family.
He's hidden for 3 months.
And then they put him in a basket.
Because his mother thought he was so beautiful.
Yeah, she saw that he was good. She puts him in a basket. She puts him in the Nile River. And he floats down. And Miriam watches him. Miriam, his sister, watches him the whole way down. And then what happens is he's found by Bat Paro. And she takes him out of the water. And she sees that he's an Israelite baby and that he's really little. And then Miriam's like, I have an idea. Steps forward and is like, hey, do you need a wet nurse for that baby?
Because I happen to know a woman.
I happen to know a woman who can be a wet nurse for you. And then she goes and brings her mother, and then Moshe is named Moshe. Ambiguous about who names him that. Like, the pronouns, we
no,
don't...
No, Bat Paro names him.
It's ambiguous with the pronouns, because at that point, Yocheved has already, like, been brought to them.
Well, no, because it says that Bat Paro named him Moshe because she drew him out of the water, and, like, and yeah. thus he was named Moshe, which doesn't make sense because that's not what that means in Hebrew. But what Howard says is that in Egyptian, it basically, like, it means, like, son. Like, essentially it means, like, sunny.
Right. Well, that's the other thing. It's like, is he named in Hebrew? Is he named in English?
Well, not English.
Not English. Egyptian. You know what I saw a TikTok on today?
What?
Mitzrayim has the dual ending of like im to make it a plural, because it theoretically could refer to both upper and lower ancient Egypt.
But you mean it's like yadayim, because there's yeah. two of like the, you have like, two hands, you say it like yad, when it's you, not yadim, it's yadayim, because they come in a pair.
Well, it's also like when you pluralize anything, you add the yud mem at the end for a male. Like if I ani holech, I like ani holechet, I walk. But if right. it's a guy, it's ani holech, and for like we walk holchim, right?
I know, but it's different than Mitzrayim and holchim, right? Those are different.
It's just like that's just how the word is. Like,
I thought yes, I was yadayim. Adding to your point. Why are we arguing?
I mean,
about
yes,
it?
But as in, it's just like anything, right? Like yeah. to pluralize something or to make it dual, like
right. But things that are in twos, as you're saying, like Upper and Lower Egypt,
right. Yeah.
It's like yadayim.
Yeah, sure.
Shoshana will never agree with me on anything. Just on principle.
I'm a Dafka dick. Anyway, so Moshe is named Moshe. He grows up. He leaves the palace. He sees that Israelites are going through hardships. He sees an Egyptian about to kill an Israelite, and he kills the Egyptian first because he gets very incensed about it. And then the next day, two bad Israelites call him out for killing the Egyptian. The Pharaoh finds out and wants to punish him, and so he runs away. He runs to Midian. When he's in Midian, oh, then there's the interim, according to Midrash, that he spends 40 years in Cush, being the king of Cush.
The king of Cush.
But that's not in the text.
Well, and it's not even a commentary on this part of the text. No. It's a commentary. You're just bringing it up because we read Bamidbar 12.
Well, no, as in like times. As in like that's when they bring it up. That's when they reference the...
Because it says he married a Cushite woman. And it's why would he married a Cushite woman? Yeah. And they're like, actually, she was the queen of Cush. So that's the king
That's when Rashi brings it up. But I don't think that's like the only time it's mentioned.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't heard of that Midrash except in relation to that Pasuk.
Right.
I mean, obviously, I guess Midrashim live other places.
Exactly.
What I was going to say is, I think I said this, like, I think it would be good if he was the king of Cush for a while because, like, he needs a resume builder.
Right.
Like, otherwise, he's, like, totally unqualified. He's lived this, like, forgive the pun, but cushy life in the palace.
Well, he also, like, he himself thinks he's not the right one. We'll get there.
Right.
If we hold on for 3 seconds and finish this Parsha summary. That is not
who me don't 45 look at me. Minutes
he flees to Midian. He rescues Yisro's daughters. He marries one of Yisro's daughters, and then he becomes a shepherd for his father-in-law Yisro,
or Yitro.
Yitro, or Jethro. Reuel. He has a bunch of different names. Anyway,
Yitro and Yisro are literally the same and Jethro is just the English
Reuel.
I don't know about that one.
Reuel, I'm pretty sure in Shmati's called Reuel.
Oh, no, I think you're right. Yeah. I think you're right, but he has like one that Jethro and Yitro and Yisro, you're like, he has so many names. I'm like, those are all one name.
He has one that starts with a chet. Anyway, sometime down the track, Moshe, God appears to Moshe in the burning bush. Or an angel of God appears to Moshe, Betoch Hasneh, in the midst of the burning bush. And God tells Moshe that he should go and free the Jewish people, the Israelites. And Moshe's like, nah, I can't do it.
And Moshe's like, shut up,
Moshe's like, I'm not the man for you. And God's like, no, I think you are. I think you are. And then Moshe's like, nah, I'm really not. And God's like, no, I'll help you along. And Moshe's like, you should find someone else. And then God's like, shut up, do it. And then he says that Aaron will help him out. And then this whole thing happens where like Moshe doesn't circumcise his son on his way back to Egypt. And so it's
well, you're
it for
saying
him.
That like it's pshat. That's not the pshat.
It's too weird to get into and it has nothing to do with the movie we're talking about. And this has already taken so long that I'm just going to skip over it. Whole thing happens. Moshe and Aaron meet up. They go to and Aaron's like happy to see Moshe. They go to the elders of Israel. They tell them that like God has come and is going to redeem us. Then they all go to Pharaoh, Paroi. And he's like, nah, you can't leave. In fact, I'm going to make you guys work harder now. And then Moshe goes back to Hashem and says, dude, like, what the hell is going on? Why are you doing this? And God's like, don't worry. Like, the Gula is coming. It's coming. And that's the end of the Parsha. So much happens.
Cliffhanger.
So much happens.
Yeah.
Valerie.
This week, we're watching The Princess Diaries.
Yeah. Did you see I made a meme about it?
I did. Are you going to repost it when we actually post the podcast?
Well, I'll post it on our story.
You know, someone else referenced, said, like, shut up to me yesterday.
That's really funny.
Because I said it in response to something he said. And he was like, you know, from Mean Girls. And I was like, you mean from The Princess Diaries?
Was it Jamie?
No, it wasn't Jamie. You think Jamie? You think Jamie, when I said shut up referencing The Princess Diaries, Jamie would have responded to me by referencing Mean Girls?
He like would have gotten the reference
Jamie
wrong.
Jamie is our, like, he plans like the Tulane, like the trips that Pardes takes.
He's
and
very
he's
British.
My bestie.
He's very British. We love him.
I talked to him for like 2 hours on the bus yesterday, just shooting the shit.
He's wonderful.
Okay, well, I was looking up the Wikipedia definition of Princess Diaries because...
Yeah, please define Princess Diaries.
Okay. The film follows Mia Thermopolis Hathaway, a shy American teenager who learns she is heir to the throne of a European kingdom. Under the tutelage of her estranged grandmother, Andrews, the kingdom's reigning queen, Mia must decide whether to claim the throne she has inherited or renounce her title permanently.
Crazy.
And then I did this the last time we watched, but with her friends Lily and Michael Moskowitz in tow, she tries to navigate through the rest of her 16th year. That's what the IMDb page says, which I just think is like such a funny way of describing.
They also like don't do shit for her.
Yeah. Anyway, directed by Gary Marshall.
Stop. It's Gary. Gary Marshall. It's not Gary.
It was released in July of 2001.
Gary Marshall. Stop saying Gary just to annoy me. You know it works. No.
What did I do yesterday that you got all equally as mad about?
I don't know, but I don't like Gary. It pisses me off so much. So annoying. Valerie's silently laughing off mic.
It's just so funny. I'm so mad about it.
It's annoying. It grinds my gears.
They also spell Lily with two L's, which is
equally disgusting.
Insane. Gary and Lolly.
I'm gonna kill you. Oh my god. So anyway.
Where should I love we start? Gary and Hocus Pocus.
Stop. Stop, please. I love this movie. This movie is an absolute classic. It defined my childhood. It's one of those movies that, like, anytime it's playing on TV, like, no matter what point I sit down and find it on,
right,
I will just watch it until the end.
Oh, did you know Liv Tyler was considered for Mia?
Crazy. Can you believe it's Anne Hathaway's first movie?
No, that's pretty crazy. She's so good. What's crazy is like how much I feel like my understanding of style has changed. Like when they first do her reveal of like, she, look, now I've transformed
her. A princess.
Her. A princess. I was
only
like,
Paolo,
oh, she's...
can take this and this.
She's wearing too much makeup.
Yeah.
And it's like, I feel like that's such a, like, at the time I was like, oh my God, she's gorgeous. And now I'm like, ugh.
I feel it's just like, it's so crazy to me that she's a what, like 20 when this came out? And she's so good in it. She's literally like,
I think she was 17.
She was 17?
Because she's playing a 15-year-old.
What year was she born?
You look it up.
I am. Anne Hathaway was born in 1982.
You know the scene
where... She's 19. 20.
When they're filming.
It came out in 2001.
And she was born in what year?
82.
Okay.
She was 19 when it was released.
I mean, listen, I think the casting of this whole movie is really phenomenal. Good. So good.
But it's just, I'm sorry, I'm back on this. It's her first movie. The first movie you land and your co-star is Julie Andrews. Like, that's insane.
Okay, tell your story about Julie Andrews in this movie.
I will. I love this story so much. It's from the IMDb page. Meg Cabot, who wrote the film. Who wrote the movie. Meg Cabot wrote the book, Princess Diaries. And in the book, Mia's father died. He just had his ball cancer and then can't have any other kids because of the chemo. And so he enters Mia's life because she's going to have to be the queen because he can't have any more children. And he plays a larger role. So that's the book. And so when they sold the rights and they were developing the movie, they approached Meg Cabot and they were like, look, we want to kill the father. And we want to make the grandmother's role bigger because we have someone in mind who would be really good for it. And she goes, oh, I guess, but like, who is it? And they said Julie Andrews, and her response was, oh my God, kill him. Like just kill the father, like kill him right now. Because if you have the chance to put Julie Andrews in your film and make her like one of the main parts of it,
yeah,
you kill the man.
For sure.
You just get rid of him.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm thinking now, I'm looking at the photos online. It's like crazy they make a big deal about, she's like, I'm going to go live in a castle. But I'm like, she lives in the most incredible place in San Francisco.
In that firehouse?
Yeah. It's like so beautiful.
Yeah. I don't understand.
And she has a tower.
Yeah. I don't understand how like movies like that are like, oh, look, my mother and I live in a dump. And it's like, you live in a giant house. You have a 3-level bedroom. Like, I don't understand what's wrong with you.
Crazy. What a dream. Well, I think like the obvious comparison is that both Mia and Moshe get this responsibility like thrust upon them unexpectedly. Like, I don't, Moshe clearly does not expect to become the Jewish, Moshe clearly doesn't expect to become the leader of the Jewish people in the same way that Mia doesn't expect to be told that she's a princess.
Right. And taking it even further, they are both people who like actively try and reject the leadership that is thrust upon them.
Right.
Also for similar reasons, right?
More like Moshe, the spotlight. They just don't like being in the spotlight.
But I think it's both. Like, they don't think that they're suited for it. Moshe like says he is slow of speech. Mia doesn't like public speaking. Like, it's similar reasons for like part of why they're not.
Well, I mean, listen, it's her own fault that, like, her debate wasn't very good because, of course, no one wants school uniforms.
Hey, I know you're goading me, but you know I like school uniforms. I miss my school uniform.
I told you, you could wear it to parties.
I love it. It's in Australia. How would I wear it?
Why didn't you bring it with you?
Because I didn't.
You know that episode of Gilmore Girls where Rory comes to college and then she tells her roommate that she can pick anything she wants to wear to the first party of the year, and she comes out wearing her Chilton uniform, and like Rory starts laughing and she's like, my mom must have packed that as a joke. It's my high school uniform. And she's kind of like, okay. And she's like, okay, there's a matching tie in there somewhere.
I don't remember that, but
I just described the whole scene to you.
You did. So. I appreciate it. I really like school uniform. We're being told what to wear every day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just taking out the choice again. Like, if I were a teenager and trying to like figure out my own shit, and like I also had to like figure out my own personal sense of style and be judged by that on a daily basis, I would kill myself. Like,
yeah,
it's already so hard being a teenager and figuring out who you are, and then on top of that, like, what to wear every day.
Some of the outfits I used to wear in high school,
it was the best. We had like navy stockings or like knee-length socks if you wanted to. Black shoes, which were the most comfortable shoes in the world. Like greenish, grayish, bluish, like plaid. Like, those were the colors of the plaid. Skirt. And then like a blue like pixie collared button up shirt that had like pin, what do they call like the pin things on the side?
What?
Like not pleated, but like the shirt had like pleated pin things like that. Like, it was like folded over like that. I don't know how to describe it.
I think it's
words.
A pleat.
I don't know. Those were the shirts. And then like in the winter, you could wear like a jumper, like a sweater, like a knit sweater. That was like very nice. It was very nice, like navy, dark navy blue with like a nice blue stripe around the collar and the logo. And we had a blazer. We had cross ties. And when it was all put together, it looked very dashing.
I don't. What you're describing to me does not sound dashing.
I'm gonna find pictures.
I have seen pictures of you in this school uniform, and again, I wouldn't call it dashing.
It looked good when there was like a group of people all together and they were wearing the uniform. It looked good.
Well, sure. That is what wearing the same clothes does. Looks great in photos.
It looks good. Also, like, the winter uniform was slapped. It was awesome. Wearing a blazer and jumper every day.
You can post a picture of this on our Instagram and people can tell you whether or not it's dashing.
And if they tell me it's not dashing, I'm blocking them.
Okay, fine.
Done.
That's fair. Mia and Moshe don't really fit in. They're both kind of in this like bicultural place. Like, Mia, this happens in the next movie, but she goes to Genovia and she has to like learn how to fit in Genovia while also like becoming a princess. And Moshe spends like maybe the first like 3 to 5 years of his life with the Israelites, and then moves into the palace in Egypt and spends most of his time there.
Right. You have to assume he has some idea of where he came from because he feels affinity with
the Hebrew that he sees when he sees the Egyptian
beating.
Exactly.
He goes out and he sees the hardship of the Jewish people, and like he recognizes that.
Well, and like the commentators are very concerned with that because he kills this Egyptian. And then there's like no discussion of like whether or not it's good or bad. So there's like this whole conversation of like, is it justified that he kills the Egyptian?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like, why don't we ever hear about it again? He never faces any consequences for it.
But he seems to be justified. I also think it's just like we said, his mother was brought in as his wet nurse. And so from like a very young age, he has some involvement with her and his family. When he comes back from Midian, he has some connection with Aaron as well, because Aaron is told to like go out and meet him, and then like is happy to see him. Like, you know right. what I mean? There's an affinity there, and like we're learning Shemot in class at the moment. We've been learning all semester.
Aaron was happy to see him because like Aaron definitely would have known that Moshe is his brother.
But I'm saying that like there's still a rapport there, right? Like, it makes more sense for Aaron to be, like, really happy to see him if he remembers his brother from when he's little. And Moshe knows, God doesn't have to describe Aaron, your brother, by the way, you have a brother. Like, he's expecting his brother. There is a connection there already.
Doesn't it? Okay, I'm not going to make any claims about the text because you yelled at me last time.
What I was going to say is that, like, we're learning this in class and something we've been talking about a lot. Even when it comes back to the name Moshe, right? Like, mm-hmm. Is it Hebrew? Is it Egyptian? Moshe is a person who's brought up in two different cultures. And I think part of his struggle, like when you read the text very deeply, especially like in this opening bit, but like when he sees the Jewish people suffering and he chooses to kill the Egyptian, he's very clearly choosing one culture over another, right? He's clearly mm-hmm. choosing to identify in that moment as an Israelite.
Right. I think it's a key story.
Exactly.
Device. Yeah.
And I feel like that's the same thing that I see in the Princess Diaries in a way of like Mia doesn't know her other culture, but like you said, like in the second movie, it's about her like trying to fit in. And it's so interesting to see people who are fluent in two different cultures, but like when they have to marry those together or like choose one or the other.
Right. Or like code switch.
Exactly. It's just really fascinating to watch.
Yeah. I really struggle with like whether or not Moshe knew that he was, obviously he knows at the point when we see him like kill the Egyptian that he knows that he's Hebrew, but like that's like a big secret for someone to keep from Paro the whole time he's growing up. And like I also question like could Paro really have not realized who Moshe was going to be? Like his daughter turns up with this little baby boy and like he must have known his daughter wasn't pregnant leading up to that. And if she finds a little boy and like he couldn't put together like, oh, I've told all the midwives to kill right. all the Hebrew babies. And now this woman is turning up with a male baby. Like he must be Hebrew.
Well, part of me also wonders if that's like, it's really easy to make, you know, I guess policy that affects real people on a really bad scale at large when you don't see that people on a day-to-day basis. It's a lot harder to enact that when you have a very cute baby being held in front of you by your daughter. Right. Like, and I think that's like the big thing is that a lot of time people who are making policy, they don't know people on the ground and they're not seeing, like they don't see the individual faces. They just see that group of people.
It's like whenever a politician has a child that turns out to be gay and then they're in favor of gay rights.
Exactly,
you know?
Right.
Like okay, you couldn't have imagined that there's a real person until you know a real person who's
exactly.
going this.
And it's a lot easier to like excuse one person who's a very cute baby who your daughter is clearly obsessed with than it is to like be nice to the thousands of people who are swarming your nation.
Who you perceive to be swarming your
exactly.
nation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The other thing that I will compare, which might sound heretical to some, Julie Andrews in this extended metaphor of like, you know, thrusting leadership upon a person and that person being wary of it, accepting it. Julie Andrews is God. Julie Andrews is equals Hashem at the burning bush. And now when I think about, like, because the text does say that like an angel of Hashem was like in the heart of the flames, like the flames, like in the middle of the bush. And now I do imagine that it's just Julie Andrews. You know, like Harry Potter style, that Harry Potter, like Harry Potter 4 and 5, when Sirius puts his face in the flames.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just imagining like Moshe's like sees this bush burning and he walks up and Julie Andrews like flamey face is there and she goes, hello. Like, how are you? Like that's the scene I see now.
Nice.
But yeah.
I think that works.
there's just so much, like, even outside of just all like making comparisons, this movie is so good. I've said it before, I'll say it again. It has the best one-liners that happen off screen.
Yeah.
Like, there's the one at the high school where they're like, can the feng shui club please stop rearranging the furniture on the lawn? Like,
that one's really good.
It's so funny. Like, there's just so many good ones.
Well, I also think it's interesting what Moshe, like, surprisingly, we see Moshe, like, and Aaron go to the elders of Israel and, like, tell them that they're about to be redeemed. And it's, like, no problem. Like, the elders accept it right away, even though Moshe is really concerned leading up to that. Mm. I feel like there's, like, an interesting difference with, like, when Mia gets this makeover, and so she looks more like the popular girls at the school, and Lily is like, you sold out, like, and she's so upset at her. Like,
I'm gonna say it, Lily sucks.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it must be really hard to be in the position of being somebody's best friend and to see that something is obviously going on with them, and that they're not letting you into that.
She sucks before that. She sucks when, like, I don't know, it sucks.
I think she's the type of high school girl that will, like, turn out to be okay, but that, like, in high school she's taken on this, like, she's combative, she's feminist, she's loud,
but it's
she
not even
cares
that. It's
about,
like,
the environment.
It's like, at one point, Mia's like, my dad died 2 months ago, and she's like, yeah, get over it already. Like, what's it been, 2 months? Get over it.
Well, I feel like that's also our Jewish cultural perspective, where, like, if your dad died, you'd be in mourning for a year, right?
No, that's
did you know
a
that?
Normal human perspective of it takes more than 2 months to get over someone's
right.
Look, as the resident expert of dead parents, specifically dead dads, I will take the win on this one.
Well, right, but you can't divorce your experience of your dad's death from your Jewish context.
I agree it takes more than two months. I win. Okay. Again, if you have any questions about having dead parents, Valerie or audience, I am the self-proclaimed expert in this field.
No questions.
This movie felt like a weird type of representation for me. Mm. I too had a very wealthy royal grandmother who came and swept me off my feet in high school. No. Like, the crazy curly hair, the dead dad,
school uniform,
feeling like this is like to every teenager. Like,
did
just
anyone
feeling
get
like
coned?
Everyone got coned all the time. Lana got coned. I don't know. I like Princess Diaries.
Wait, okay, but we have to.
Oh, here's my question from last time as well. Do you think coning exists in the Princess Diaries cinematic universe the same way that getting slushied exists in Glee?
I'm going to change my answer because did you see, I think we talked about this like when we were watching the movie, that there's like a little man in a uniform with like one of those little white hats and he's like serving ice cream out of a soft serve machine that
exists
outside.
That's
how she ends up with the ice cream cone. So
they
yes.
go to a wealthy high school. Of course they have an ice cream man. What are you talking about? My question is do people go around like they do with the slushies in Glee? Like,
that's what I'm saying. I'm saying yes.
Yes,
I'm saying
it happens.
They have a little man.
But that's
he's actually
they have
a
little
large
man. So then I think that sucks because part of what I really like about that scene is that I imagine that kid is like the kid who starts the chant of Lana got coned is a legend, right? He like invents the term coning. Everyone follows him. But if it happens all the... Also, if it does happen all the time, no one's chanting about it when it happens. In Glee, they just move on with their lives when they get slushied.
Well, no, I think maybe this is the first time and then it becomes a thing.
And then
thing.
It becomes a thing and then they have to deal with it. Love it. I love how the teachers just don't care. They're like, oh no. Okay.
Well, Sandra Oh is incredible.
She's
in this.
Incredible.
And she... Yeah, when she's like, send it out for dry cleaning.
Oh, I love it.
But she also clearly doesn't like Lana.
No one likes Lana. I like it when you can tell teachers don't like students. In real life and in
I can't
TV
think of film. A relevant experience, so.
Really?
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, I was going to say. I was literally about to name a class that we were both in where a teacher didn't like a student.
I don't want to talk about it. That's so, what did you say earlier? We're talking some serious losh.
Losh, yeah. Losh is short for losh and horror. In South Africa, they call it koch. Cocking. I'm pretty sure that's what they call it.
Wow. South Africans are crazy.
At least one listens to this podcast, so you're going to have to explain it to them.
Chef?
No. My friend Josh.
Oh. Hi, Josh.
He got very excited because he's also friends with Rachel Margolin. So the other
this Josh.
He got lots of mentions, and then he messaged me about it this morning because he listened to the podcast late.
Yeah.
Now he's about to get more, maybe, if you decide not to cut this out.
Yeah. Hey, Josh, I'll be friends with you too. You don't just have to be friends with Rachel Margolin. I said it in the last episode, and I'll say it again. What is happening outside? Do you hear this? There's like crowing or something.
Who's dying?
I gotta
quick,
go.
Valerie, another cat for you to save.
Let me put on my cat, my cape, and my mask.
Another cat for you to kiss on the mouth.
She's such a good little kisser.
Oh my god, she's a cat, Valerie. She's a cat.
And every time I kiss her on the lips, then she like licks her nose. She's like, ew.
Oh my god. The cat outside is not happy. I don't know if you guys can hear it. It sounds like this. Like that. If you hadn't heard it,
I can't believe I've heard it. Said on the podcast that I kissed Zati on the
several list. Times. You brought it up several times this episode. I have a question. If you had to be a royal, let's use the British royal family as like how it'd be. Like, what type of royal would you be within that family? Because I have my theories who I would be. But
I know.
You go
I think
first.
I think I also have my theory. I think I would be a Princess Margaret for sure, because like I love her lifestyle of she like lays in bed until 10 a.m.
Of drinking
somebody
and
brings her
drinking
breakfast.
And smoking herself to an early grave. That lifestyle. Okay.
Listen, life is miserable. You might as well be a princess and have somebody bring you coffee in bed every morning and smoke your cigarettes and date artists and have parties.
But also sad.
Well, and I think what's interesting here, like you can draw a parallel between like how the crown, like at least how in the first few episodes of The Crown, when Queen Elizabeth takes the throne, she like very clearly says like, I realize that everybody here thinks they could do a better job than me, but like the crown has landed on my head, and they right. see it as kind of this like burden that like falls on one person and then another. It's interesting because like clearly that's what happens in Mia's case, although it was her father's intention that it wouldn't fall on her.
Right.
And then, in The Crown, it's also like this huge thing to renounce, because then it's like you're basically forcing someone else to take on this role when you abdicate. But with Moshe, it's interesting because like we see God choosing Moshe.
Right.
But I mean, I guess you could say the same thing about like The Crown, like falls on like a random person or not a random person, but like... Yeah. I think they believe that like there's a belief that that's also divinely.
There is. They actually like in decided. One of the last episodes of season four, there's the episode of where they realize that they have family members who are like squirreled away into like adult living or like homes because they had different like learning disabilities and mental disabilities. And one of the things is like if the public knew that the bloodline was tainted, like then that's an issue because they're supposed to be the royal bloodline for a reason.
Yeah.
Like they're special for a reason. And if it turns out that their blood's not better than everyone else's and they can have defects in their bloodline, like that's right. bad news. But I would say that the royal that I would be is like Princess Beatrice and or Eugenie, where your grandmother's the queen. Your grandfather's a prince. Your father's a prince. You can do anything you want. Like literally anything.
Yeah.
They studied art history. They're friends with celebrities. One of them stabbed Ed Sheeran in the face.
Amazing. Because she was knighting people.
Because they had like
this huge
party with all of these celebrities. And it was one of those things that no one was ever supposed to find out. And she takes like a ceremonial sword off a wall and then like was knighting someone, and like when she put the sword behind her head, nicked Ed Sheeran in the face.
So fucking
insane.
Funny.
So you're having like a crazy life, but like no one cares about you as a royal because you know, like you don't have that insane pressure. You know that you're never going to be the king or the queen or the sovereign, because already like Charles is in front of them in line. William, like when they were kids, it was like Charles, William, Harry, their father. And I think it was like then their other male, they didn't have any other male cousins. So then it was like straight to them.
Right.
And now it's like also William and his kids and Harry and his kid. Like everyone's in front of them in the line. Right. They're like 10th, 11th in line. They're never going to be sovereign.
Yeah.
They just have a crazy cool life. And every so often have to go to a fundraiser event.
Yeah.
What a life to live. The soundtrack, like the score of this film, is again one of my favorites of all time. This one and Stardust are like two of the best ever.
Okay, also so good. I don't know about the band that like her boy toy is in.
Oh, Michael Moskowitz. Do you know he's a Coppola?
Oh, no, I didn't
Michael
know that.
Michael Schwartzman. He's a Coppola and he's cousins with Nicolas Cage, who is also a Coppola and changed his last name from Coppola to Cage to break
that
into the
biz.
That
I think I knew.
And they're all cousins. It's part of a dynasty.
That's pretty funny. Also, he's not good at fixing cars. I'll just say that.
He plays guitar. He fixes cars.
No, but she's not talking about him. She's talking about the lead singer.
I know. I love it. It's so funny.
What was I saying about him? Oh, okay. That's weird. I agree. But listen, we're in a country of people who eat corn on pizza. So
I think that's more normal than M&M's on pizza. Unless it's a dessert pizza.
I can't really make a claim either way on that. But what I am going to say is Mandy Moore singing Stupid Cupid in this movie is just like so incredible. The song that his band is playing, I think, is pretty good too. I don't know if that's a real song or not.
I just love the waltz music when she does the waltz at the end with him at the dance.
That's very cute. Yeah.
It's a lovely soundtrack.
Miracles happen.
No, not that one. That's not the waltz I'm talking about.
Which waltz are you talking about?
It's score written for the film.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
When she's like looking
when
around.
She's waiting for
I see,
him,
I
exactly.
see. Yeah.
Wait, let me get something. I have to get something on screen. In between my cake nibbles.
Okay. When Anne Hathaway says, please don't crush my soy nuts.
Oh my God. Please don't. Your soy nuts are safe. Cracks me up every time.
Did you know that Anne Hathaway's eyebrows, they had to apply her pre-makeover eyebrows. They had to apply all of those hairs individually and it took hours.
Yeah.
And then she also has a hair piece in when she has the curly hair.
Yeah. Valerie, I used to live on IMDb as a child.
I'm not really telling you. I'm telling
everyone else. Okay.
Everyone.
Before we get to casting, we have something very special to play for you, everyone.
Oh yeah.
I'm gonna hold my microphone up real close to it, even though that is unnecessary. You guys ready? Okay, one sec.
Hi, my name is Chloe and I'm recording this from Minnesota while I have my 11-week-old sleeping on me right now. So to anyone else who's been too nervous to record, I can do it while taking care of an 11-week-old. I really enjoy the podcast and my two cents is to get more description of who you're casting, because I'm out of the loop and don't know who these people are sometimes. It's like how, my mom will be like, who was that that you were hanging out with? And I'm like, that is Wade and JoJo. They were at the Briss. It was the really tall guy with the short lady, constantly having to describe the same people over and over again. So for ignoring misses like myself, just describing the people you're casting. Keep at it. Enjoy.
Chloe, we love you.
And your baby.
And your baby. Yeah, please, first of all, please give us more information. What genre is your baby?
What genre is your baby?
Is it boy or girl genre? We like babies here. So
we love babies.
Just give us all the info. What's the baby's name?
I'm
and sure yes, we can also, we can describe people. We'll try to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which leads us to
what I was thinking actually is what we should really have been doing from the beginning is posting photos of our casting choices.
Yeah, we could start doing
that
too.
Along with.
We can make that an extra post a week. Done.
Oh, Shoshana's always looking for social content.
I'm looking for social content. I'll go first for my casting. Originally, I wanted to cast McKenna Grace as Miriam. As young Miriam, but then I thought that's a bit too basic. So I decided, actually, I didn't think that.
McKenna Grace, who is?
She's very blonde. She plays a young Carol Danvers in Captain Marvel. She plays a young Sabrina in the Sabrina TV show now. She's always she was in the Gifted Child movie with Chris Evans. She always plays the younger version of the main character. She's in the new
Ghostbusters. You've definitely seen her.
Yeah. She's in the
little upturned nose. She's blonde.
She's in the new Ghostbusters as well. Apparently she's very good in that. Anyway, so I was going to cast her, but then I thought that
Wait, did we say who we're casting?
We're casting young Miriam, young Moshe, and Bat Paro. We're basically trying to stretch it out over these weeks where there's the same central character, so we have people to cast every week. So I was going to do McKenna Grace, but then I decided on a different small blonde girl who is Anna Chlumsky from My Girl as a child, who was also in Veep as an adult, but I'm focusing on the My Girl era Anna Chlumsky. Because I think that Miriam needs to have some like emotional range. And I like when I think of like young emotional actresses, I think of Anna going like, his glasses, he needs his glasses to see at the end of My Girl. She can do it. She has the range. My musher is Miles Brown, who is on the TV show Blackish. He's the youngest brother on Blackish.
Yeah, he's good.
I just think he has main character energy. He's like really, like he's just like, he's got the moves. He's a cool kid. And I think he'd be a good musher. Also got the range. And then my butt paro is Gemma Chan, who was in Crazy Rich Asians. And she was in Captain Marvel. I'm pretty sure she was in Eternals as well.
She was just Astrid in Crazy Rich Asians. Yes. And she's just beautiful. She looks really elegant.
Yeah. And I think like it's perfect for royalty because she looks regal. She's like very like poised. But she's also, especially in Crazy Rich Asians, she plays such like a good, kind, lovely person. And I feel like she has the energy that Butt Paro needs.
Absolutely.
And so that's my casting.
Very nice. Yeah. All good choices.
And now I'm going to finish eating my cake.
Okay, so I am casting for Miriam. I'm going with Millie Bobby Brown.
Millie Bobby?
Wait. Flat Earther.
Flat Earther. Millie Bobby bald or Millie Bobby with hair?
I think with hair. I'm just going to imagine that, like, in this Egyptian Jewish world, she wouldn't have had a shaved head, but I think she can do either way. Like maybe
Millie Bobby Brown also like from Stranger Things.
Yeah, from Stranger Things, and then Enola Holmes, and she's been in a bunch of stuff.
Yeah,
she's a UNICEF ambassador.
She was in Grey's Anatomy.
What if it's like, you know, Miriam, when it's like they took the timbrels in their hands? Like, what if all of a sudden all the women like shave their head after they get across the Yom Suf?
Can you imagine?
I'm down for it. Do you think I should shave my head?
Yes. You've asked me that before. I think everyone should shave their head
once. I actually was thinking...
We've had this conversation before.
But I saw someone on TikTok who was like, if you're thinking about doing a half shave, don't. Or like, here's some tips on how to grow out a half shave. Don't get one.
Do a full shave.
Well, so I was thinking, what if... Because I like to wear my hair up. So what if I did like, I shaved here and then I had like a man bun situation, but it's just a lady bun.
You should just shave all of your hair. Do okay. it. You want to. It's the time. You're young.
No, I think the time is probably not before my first year of teaching in a Jewish day school.
You should have done it like 2 years ago.
I think the time is when we go and live on a kibbutz and I
think you should do it right now.
Chickens and goats.
I think you should do it right now.
Okay, here's what I'm worried about for real.
My cats will be scared of you.
No.
Oh. I thought they wouldn't recognize you.
I think the cats mostly recognize you based off of smell, to be honest.
Oh.
But no, I'm not worried about that. Those cats are obsessed with me. They don't care if I have hair or not. What I'm worried about is my head is kind of lumpy. Like I have like a dent up here in the back of my head.
Why? What happened?
I don't know. I just have a misshapen head. So I'm worried that if I shaved my head, it would look weird.
Well, then it's the perfect time because it's winter and you can just wear beanies all the time.
Yeah. I mean, truly, I hate having like hit my hair down. Like I hate how it feels on my neck.
You should just get a haircut, bro.
I'll think about it. You really think I would look good with a shaved head, or are you just like want to encourage me to do something crazy?
Yes.
It's the latter.
No comment. I don't think you look bad with a shaved head. I think it's something you want to do. And with things like this, like you just need a bit of encouragement, you know? Should we make it a poll on our story whether you should shave your head or not?
A what? A poll?
A poll.
I mean, I'm not promising that I'm going to do it. People vote.
I'm sure.
Anyway, so for Moshe, I'm casting Jack Dylan Grazer, who is from It and also from Shazam, which I haven't seen.
Shazam is really so good. It's so underrated.
Yeah. He's kind of like... He looks kind of like a young Timothy Chalamet. He has like big eyebrows and dark hair.
You guys are going to ruin stuff.
I mean, you don't have to think he looks like a young Timothy Chalamet, but listen, I like a little skinny white boy. What can I say?
I think you like him from that because of the Prince of Egypt, because he's like a rapscallion.
Maybe. Yeah. And then for Bot Paro, I'm thinking Storm Reed, who was a lead in A Wrinkle in Time. And she was also in When They See Us. And I think probably one of the things she's most known for is she's Zendaya's younger sister in Euphoria. Mm-hmm. And she just has like a very kind face. And I think she, like, to me, feels like Bot Paro.
It's really surprising for me that you went for like a young Bot Paro.
Oh, yeah. But I think of her as like, obviously, like, we always cast with, like, pretend that time doesn't exist. Yeah. But, yeah, I kind of think of Bot Paro as being, like, you know, between, like, under 20
when she finds Moshe. I think of her as older because of the Prince of Egypt.
Yeah.
But
in that, isn't she Pharaoh's wife?
Yeah, she is.
So.
So. Oh, there's noises outside again.
Now there's children.
Storm Reed's also in Invisible Man, which is a great movie. Terrifying movie. I still think we should somehow figure out a way to do more horror films for this. Like, we should branch out in genre.
For sure. Okay, anything else we have to do? Oh, hi, Svi.
Hi, Svi.
Yeah, we're recording.
He can come in, though. Hey, Svi. Come say hi.
What you doing in here, Svi?
Svi, come say hi into the microphone.
He's so upset that we're...
Svi, come say hi into the mic.
Svi, do you want to watch The Prince of Egypt with us? Or do the podcast after we watch The Prince of Egypt with us?
Svi just said no thanks.
I thought you said
rude.
You would be on the podcast anytime we wanted.
Damn, I wish it picked up
Dad
his sound.
Dad energy. We just bullied him with absolutely no effort. So yeah.
This is also going to get cut
out. It's just the anticipation of us bullying him.
It's going to get cut out because they can't hear you from here.
Hello, everyone. Great podcast. Two of my favorite people. Keep enjoying.
Thanks, Svi. Damn. I hope that sound picked up.
Yeah. Okay. Did we do all the things?
Yeah, I think so.
Bye, everyone. We love you.
Okay, bye. That's how Valerie kisses her cats on the nose, on the mouth.